Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back to thinking, time for thinking ahead. The world has changed so very much from what it used to be. There's so much hatred, war and poverty. Oh, wake up, all the teachers, come to teach a new way. Maybe then they'll listen to what you have to say. They're the ones who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can. If we just let it be, na 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 na, the world won't get no better. We gotta change it, girl, just you and me.
Break it up with Linda Mitchell.
Ah, you said it, girl.
Jimmy
Cash. Yeah.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want it.
We give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.
Well, good evening. And welcome in to our Cross Country Connect. I have my wonderful, wonderful friend, Professor Karen Berg, life coach, is going to be sharing with us today. She's calling in all the way from Arkansas. But before we get going, you know, we want to talk about happiness. Ultimately, happiness rests on how you establish a solid sense of self or being. Happiness does not lie in outward appearances, nor in vanity. It is a matter of what you feel inside. It is a deep resonance in your life to be filled each day with a rewarding sense of exhilaration and purpose, a sense of tasks accomplished, deep fulfillment. People who feel this way are happy. Those who have this sense of satisfaction, even if they are extremely busy, are much happier than those who just have time on their hands but feel empty inside. It's all about the happiness. It's all about making the move. It's all about being true to who you are. And we're going to play this song, listen to the words, and we're going to bring in our life coach, Karen Berg, with us. She has some very interesting and informative and exciting things to share with you. Here we go, Cross Country Connect.
Nothing is certain, you have to go for it.
we have to get up and make that move. And on the line with us this evening for our cross-country connect section of Waking Up with Linda McShann is Professor, I call her Professor, Karen Berg, the life coach. Professor, are you on the air with us this evening?
I am. Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and I hear that beautiful voice. Thank you. Thank you.
Oh, it's been too long, my friend.
Oh, yes, it has been. But I've been keeping in touch with you. You know, I see all those postings and those exciting events that's going on there, and, you know, your beautiful smile and face, your friends. You're just having a ball, you know. It's like you are a person that lives true to what you speak on. You know, your behavior. It's like I made that move. She left us from California, guys, and she is in Arkansas, but that is beautiful country there, and she's having a wonderful time. And I'm just going to be quiet over here, Karen. I miss you so much. It is so good to have you come on and share with us.
Oh, I need this set aside time with you, and it's been a while since we've gotten together. And for those who might be listening today or down the road, Linda and I were trying to meet once a month, and we did for quite a while, I don't know, 7 or 8 months, when I was still in California, and then I moved to Arkansas a year ago now. It's been a year ago, October 1st, and now here we are in November 6th. 2021, pandemic year, and a year of many changes. And a lot of people, I think, did like I did and took advantage of the changes that the pandemic presented to explore new ways of living or to explore new ways of being. And so many of us were forced into... It's interesting to think about, because I chose this life coaching practice at about the same time that this all started coming down the pike. But it's this idea of spending time in self-reflection and being intentional about the way you live your life. And when I started my own exploration of what Linda and I talked about in the past, it's a system of life design. It's designing your life intentionally in a way that's true to your values and the things that are important to you. And I think the last time we talked, it has been too long. It's been a couple of months now, and I'm sorry we haven't been on a regular schedule. But I have been rather busy establishing myself in this new life of mine in Arkansas. But I wasn't really prepared today, and you and I had not talked. Sometimes before we do these podcasts, we talk a little bit, or we send an exchange of text back and forth about the topic or whatever's resting in my heart or that's on my mind. And we didn't really talk about it today, and I've been struggling, as I sometimes do because I'm unfocused and busy, to find my own topic and to stop long enough to think about what's on my heart or what's in my soul so that we can have this hour together, and I'll be able to string together some ideas that make sense. But I didn't really prepare, and then you said, I listened to your warm-up, your lead-in this tonight, you said the topic is happiness, and this always happens, Linda. This always happens. You and I are soul sisters. We connect across the universe because we never talked about what I was going to say today. We did this last time we met. We didn't really have a chance to unpack it before we got on the phone together. And that is my topic. And so it's a little startling to me that I don't know why it still surprises me that we're on the same wavelength, but we have been spiritually ever since we met. Just to refresh the story, I was teaching at the University of Laverne in Southern California, and Linda was a grad student in our master's MS in organizational leadership?
Nonprofit.
And so the class that I had been asked was nonprofit marketing, because my background is marketing and communications. And Linda and I struck up a friendship both in class because we enjoyed working on the projects together, but then after the class ended, long after the class ended, we wanted to stay in touch because we found that we had this spiritual connection. Anyway, long story short, that was 3 or 4 years ago now, and we stayed in touch. And Linda started this podcast before, or right at the beginning of the pandemic, I guess. And I had also, as fate and timing would have it, started the life coaching practice. So we said, let's keep these conversations going. And I'm one of many of her circle who are also like-minded and thinking about these things that affect our lives. Okay, so anyway, long introduction to basically say that what I wanted to talk about today, this happiness aspect that's really on my heart today, is this topic of nurturing your soul. Okay.
Yes.
And what is central to this discussion is this idea that most of us spend our lives searching for external solutions for our problems. So as human beings, we assume that the problem in our lives is out there somewhere, and that if we can just get our life to measure up to how we think it should be, we'd be happy or free or safe or settled or whatever version of contentment or fulfillment or happiness you desire. And the point of this discussion is today is to break that apart and let everybody know, and I'm sure a lot of people who follow your podcast already know this, that searching for external solutions to your problems is delusional thinking. And what it does is it leads to perpetual frustration, dissatisfaction, and misery. And I was thinking about words, and the words that sort of float to the surface if you're talking about what this feels like in your life when you are looking for some solution outside of yourself. I think of the word struggle. When you hear people say, I'm struggling, or I hear the words like suffering, and I hear people say, you know, I'm suffering, or it's hurt, or I'm experiencing pain, or I'm frustrated, frustration, I'm miserable. Okay, so no one ever wants to hear that they're the source of their own misery.
You got that right. And when
can
you
I get an
hear
amen?
It. Yes.
Okay, so the good news is if you are the problem, and you can finish the sentence, Miss Linda, you are also
the solution.
Okay. Right?
You are.
Okay.
I'm loving this, and I don't want to stop you, but I have to say this. We have always been in sync, but, you know, waking up with Linda McShann, we're all really about moving that heartfelt conversation. So very seldom we might touch a topic or we might mention a topic, but I like it when you come from your heart, and you always do, but it is ironic. We are always on the same darn page. We always have been.
On the same cosmic wavelength. So I did not share, and you did not share with me, that we were going to be talking about happiness and how you create that for yourself or how you think about it, because it is what's in your head. Now, we're talking about what's good for your heart and your soul, but it's in your head. And I want to take a cue today from the signs I've been getting in my own life, as I often do, that this is important to talk about today, because when I open up like this, I'm looking for serendipity. I'm paying attention to what the universe is sending me. And I want to tell you two things that led to this discussion today. And I wasn't thinking about it until I knew that we had to talk this morning, but here's what happened. Two things. Yesterday, I had signed up to talk with a therapist about all the changes in my life since I moved, and I left behind my old career, and that meant letting go of teaching part-time at the colleges and universities I was at in California. That my last California client that I've been working for as a freelance consultant, our contract of 3 years is ending at the end of December. The time change and just the commitments and obligations of my current job, which is now a full-time job, and also I'm working on the life coaching practice on the side, is that all of the things I'm doing now are keeping tying me up, so they can't really do all the things I used to do back in California. So I've been letting those go. And last night also, I didn't attend, but my professional association, the Public Relations Society of America, gave me, in my absence, a Spirit of Public Relations Award, which is like a Lifetime Achievement Award, because
oh.
I've been in service to that group and that profession for at least 15 years. I wasn't even there, but they gave me this sort of honorary thing. And I had to send them the video that said, thank you, I've loved every minute of it, that kind of stuff. So as my point is, I've been letting all of that go and just being open to whatever this new life is in my old hometown and in my new career, which is completely different than what I did in the past, and sort of finding my way through that. So I asked to sign up with a therapist. It took me 3 weeks to get in to talk to her, and our first session was yesterday. And what I wanted to tell you, whether it's another one of those telephone relationships, because they do like telehealth for mental health now. And so we had this phone session, and I enjoyed just listening to her wisdom and her perspective. And one of the first things she heard from me on this topic of feeling safe or settled or content with your life, because I made all these changes and I'm letting go, is she urged me to read a book called The Four Agreements.
Okay.
So then The Four Agreements is a best-selling book that was written some years ago by Don Miguel Ruiz.
Yes.
And what it is that the book is based on the wisdom of the ancients, the Toltecs. And the idea, I haven't read it yet, but the ideas that he shares with us are that the source of self-limiting beliefs rob us of joy, and they create these self-limiting beliefs create needless suffering.
Yeah.
And the book presents his ideas and instruction on how to nurture your soul and spirit. And I haven't read it yet, but as she coached me through this telehealth, session, I was thinking, she and I were talking about what it means to be happy and free. And I thought I would see what the Toltecs have to say about this. So these ancient wisdom traditions, and not just the Toltecs, but Native American and other ancient wisdom, these traditions say this. Here are the two things. Wisdom is the search for a long-term happiness. And wisdom includes the ability to see that this happiness depends on our own actions. Okay, now this is we're talking about ancient, it's like 13,000 years ago, where, the Hopi Indians in Arizona, that whole people group was thriving and at the apex of its success with hundreds of thousands of people in their population, on the plains of Arizona, in the mesas of Arizona. 13,000 years ago, they knew this. And it's still, through oral tradition and our understanding of spirituality, has been brought forward to us that wisdom includes the search for long-term happiness and the ability to see that your happiness depends on your own actions. So as I'm talking with this therapist, and she's telling me about the Four Agreements, and I'm saying, okay, I'll read it. And I don't think of myself as looking for an external solution to my problem. I am looking inward and wanting to be more self-reflective and more self-intentional. And I want to talk about the three ideas that came out of sort of my session with her. And one is this idea of the first thing is wanting what you have. Okay, so think about what it means to want what you have.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not talking about having what you want, because that's a kind of a striving, right? If you don't have what you want, you're searching for more. But when we flip that thought and we say, instead of thinking about what you don't have, what happens if you just want what you have? And that's interesting to think about. And I'm talking to this therapist, and And then she said, tell me what you're doing right now. I said, well, I was laughing. I said, what are you laughing at? I said, I'm sitting, I need to see where I am. I'm sitting at a window at a kitchen table overlooking Lake Hamilton in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's a setting that's about as beautiful and serene as you can find anywhere on the planet. And it's one of my favorite places in my home state of Arkansas. And I had set aside this hour to talk with this therapist on the phone while I'm at the lake house, you know, looking at this beautiful place, enjoying it. And I had asked my boyfriend to step out because I needed an hour of quiet to take care of my therapy session, which, again, it had taken 3 weeks to set up, and I just couldn't break it. So I'm trying to do that in the middle of our weekend vacation, which we had just started. So I'm sitting here at the window getting ready, talking to her. I said, now, let me tell you what I'm looking at the lake, and my boyfriend just slipped past the side window. And as he was walking past the window outside, the side window, not the one I was looking at, but the side window, he was looking at me, trying to catch my eye, and he was blinking from left to right, going lower and lower and lower as he walked past the window. So he's blinking out of sight, going down, down, down as he walked past the window, which was him being funny because it was almost like a comedy skit where the person is going, is disappearing from sight while you're watching through the window. And, of course, this made me laugh. So I'm exploding in laughter going, you know, he's trying to distract me. He's looking for a reaction from me by doing this funny thing outside the window. And she was laughing as I was telling her what I was experiencing in the moment. So we stopped for a second, and she said, okay, what you just described, and we're talking about wanting what you have, right? The topic is wanting what you have. And I said, and she said, how do you feel right now as you're telling me what you're experiencing right now in your life? I said, well, I'm about as happy as I could be. I mean, I was exactly where I wanted to be, loving what I was doing with the person I wanted to be with while I was talking to this therapist on the phone. To me, that's kind of an example of the topic, wanting what you have, is just being present in that moment, appreciating the gift you've been given. And for me, those are all my favorite things, right? The beauty of nature, this serene, quiet place with really no other people around, quiet time to talk about what's on my heart, and then this funny, cute boyfriend who's a part of it, making me laugh.
Okay.
So I want to open it up to you. I want to open that up to you, just sharing that kind of word picture. When we talk about wanting what we have, what does that bring to mind for you? And I was just using the example of just being fully present and appreciative. But what does that mean to you when somebody says, it's really, you know, the secret to wisdom and happiness is wanting what you have?
Well, that encounters a lot, because, you know, my take on happiness is from within anyway. In any situation, and my spirituality is you enjoy what you enjoy and suffer what there is to suffer. There's that word, suffer there. But is it really suffering? So wanting what you have, with me, you have to really sit down, Professor Bird, and dig deep, okay? Because I'm the type of person, I don't look on the outside anyway. You know, there's other people, everybody's driving the car, everybody's doing this. I'm not into that, you know. I don't move with everyone. I spoke with my friend from Atlanta, and I said, I'm going to come and visit. I said, but I'm not flying in. Well, why not everybody else is? That's the wrong thing to say to me, okay? Because I'm not everybody else, and I don't do it that way. Because when you say wanting what you have, I have me, okay? And that's where I zero in, too. So What are my responsibilities? My responsibilities are to try to stay as balanced as you can, as honest as you can, true to yourself. Those are the things that I have. I want those things. I like those things to, like, be in my being, okay? Sometimes they get a little shaken up, and you have to go at stuff a different way. But when you say want what you have, I have me. And me is a how can I say it? It's a well-ironed machine, and I believe in it. I'll share this: just as a diamond can be polished by another diamond, it is only through intense human interactions, engaging the entire personality, that people can forge themselves, raising themselves up to ever greater heights. It's like I consider myself as a diamond sometimes, and I polish it each and every day. So when you say wanting what you have, the only thing you really, really have is you. You know, if you, when you're looking at it in depth, if you're looking at materialistic things, that's a different thing. But wanting what you have, being able to be who I am, understanding as much as I possibly can who I am, and creating that happiness from within, because it's definitely not an outside job. It's an inside job, because if you go with the external for happiness, you're going to be disappointed many, 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 many times. But one thing I have is I know that I'm not going to disappoint myself. So does that kind of like tap into what you were looking for?
Yeah, it does. And as always, you give me things to think about while I'm kind of on my little theme of the idea that I want to explore. You said a couple things that hit hard for me. One was the idea of being true to yourself. You said you were using the example of not wanting to fly in, and I'm assuming that's because of the pandemic still, that
mm-hmm.
you don't want to get on that plane to
mm-hmm.
go to Atlanta. But so let's just look at that. Let's unpack that a little bit. You're talking about not going, even though you might want to, because you need to be true to yourself. So is that your way of saying I'm okay with not going?
Mm-hmm.
And then how do you bridge that gap, like that person that you love, that you want to see, that you want to spend time with? If you don't fly in to see them, how are you still spending time with them? Are you talking to them? Are you, you know, how do you stay connected to the people you love when you also have to consider, you have to protect yourself? So that's one of the things we've all been struggling with in the pandemic.
I struggle with that, and I can give you another example. I had a very dear friend to lose her son, okay? And so at the time that it happened, I made myself stretch. I got to her, which I don't ride with strength. I had to go because I had to give her what she gave me. So I had to see her face to face. So that was in the beginning. Later on, she wanted to have a memorial service. And she called and she asked me to MC. And I said, if it's virtual, you got me. If it's in person, no. Which way are you going to do that?
Uh-huh.
So she mm-hmm. said, I'm working on both ways. I said, get back to me. So then when
okay.
I told her, I wanted to tell her that so that I wouldn't take up too much of her time looking. So I said, if it's virtual, you got me. If not, no. So eventually, I guess she found someone, and then that person, they changed scheduling, and that individual couldn't make it on that day. So then she called back. I knew where she was calling, and she was talking about different things she had to do, so I gave her different suggestions and, you know, how things could be done and relieve that stress and do it this way, do it that way. But I need this, I need that. Okay, you can do it this way. I need this, I need that. Okay, try this way. You must get your program into the printer. That's your biggest jump. And if you need to change anything in your program, you can always put an insert. You're stressing out. You're trying to do everything. Let me just give you some help here, right? So
you were able to be there for your friend in other ways rather than showing up in person.
Right.
Still
and
walking
when,
beside
yes,
her.
I'm still
mm-hmm.
there.
With your knowledge.
And when I,
with your knowledge.
When I found out how many people were going to be there, I said, yeah. I will not even attend, okay? Point
yeah.
blank.
Yeah, exactly.
I won't be there.
Okay.
Because
so,
I
okay,
have
so
to.
Okay, so now I
want to
go. I know you're right. You're right. I wanted that story, but I want to take you to the next piece of something you said.
Okay, sorry, okay, okay.
There were several things you said in your response to me when I posted this question of, talk to me about wanting what you have, and now that took us on this exploration of the topic. You said something else really important in the middle of all that, and we play this back and listen to it. You may be surprised at what you said. Maybe not, but this thing you said about the way we grow as human beings, you said a diamond can only be polished by another diamond. And then you said something really profound. You said people forge one another or something like that?
Yes.
Okay. Say that again for your listeners, because if it hit them as profoundly as it hit me, I just want to hear your wisdom in that.
No, when we talk about a diamond, and a diamond can only be forged by another individual, so when you step out of your comfort zone to learn the personality, it's all in the personality. That's what it was leading to as far as forging that diamond, then everything is open game. So you cannot recognize a diamond, but we're all in the rough. But in order to polish that diamond, you have to learn that personality. So basically, it's all about paying attention and understanding and coming outside of yourself. So you got all type of people out there. You have individuals that we're all diamonds, but they don't realize they're a diamond. But you see that diamond in the rough. So what are you going to do to switch your personality to get in there and help polish theirs?
Right.
And it's two ways you can go.
Well,
okay.
if they're open to polishing one another.
Well,
it's being in an intimate relationship with another human being for the purpose of personal growth.
Yes.
We're all seeking, right?
Yes.
So we're all seeking, but not everybody jumps in or allows themselves to get close to another person while they're exploring the needs of their own soul. So what we've been talking about is nurturing your soul. And
you have to. You can't worry. You have individuals. When you speak of personalities with me, Professor Bud, I got about 52 of them that I know of. So whenever I need to pull up one of those numbers, I kind of gauge the situation. Me personally, I would rather, because I can talk to you, I can have dialogue, I can confront you, I can do many, many things. But it depends on that, how rough that other diamond is I'm dealing with will give me my decision on how I deal with it. I perfectly will prefer to step back from you rather than hurt you. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm seeing that if I come in on you, you're too fragile, all right? And I'd rather just pull back and let you think about it. And even if you come to make a, you know, peace offering, I won't deal because I'm true to myself. So my thing is, what my diamond experience was that it still got some jagged edges here. And what I experienced with you, I didn't like. But at this particular time, I don't feel you're strong enough for me to really tell you about it. I'd rather pull back than to hurt. You see where I'm going with that? So
I do. But that's at the beginning of a relationship, because if you get close to somebody and you're building and you're each exploring this idea of becoming a better version of you, you must be open to that other person helping forward to you and change you. Here's my experience of you. And if you say my experience of you is I didn't like this, then the person needs to be open to say, okay, I hear you, what it was it that you didn't like about it. And if you want to stay in that relationship and continue to forge one another, like you said, polish one another and grow from it, then instead of stepping back, you're leaning in. And that's not about hurting. That's about being open to growth. So people who are truly open to growth won't feel hurt by that, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
but
with me,
I'm
gutsy, and I go there to that gut. And if you have, yeah, so I have to pull back and see which way I'm gonna do it because I'm not a pretender, you know. If I'm mad, if I don't like it, I don't like it. I'm not gonna stay at the party. And the food is bad and the music is horrible. I go. So I'm not going to stay there. I got options. I can leave.
I know.
And so
when I
experience something, everything, see, our environment, we and our environment are one. We're one. So whatever you experience at that particular time, that's in your environment. So you have to pull back to take a look at it to see where the adjustments need to be. It could be, okay, oh, well, maybe I need to go and say, but oh, maybe I was out of line. Or it might be, uh-oh, that is not what I want to be around. Okay? Your environment can both. I didn't hear you, Professor Burke.
No, I know what you're saying.
Okay, well, she's dropped off for a minute. We're going to keep on moving here. I'm going to put our song back on. She fell off, and we'll be back on. That's about that environment. So let's play this song back in. Talking about taking that move. Don't hesitate to wait. The best Karen Berg, we have a technical problem. Oh, she gets back on.
Make that move.
You back. I played that song, Make That Move. Are you okay on that end?
Okay.
Can you hear me?
I'm here, and I guess we got bumped off, and I'm not quite sure this has happened before, but I'm not quite sure where we left off. But,
we were talking, I was talking about, pulling back your environment, and you are one. And see, that creates your happiness, too. So when you are experiencing things with other personalities, remember, in order to shine that, polish that diamond, you have to understand that personality. For me, I have to gauge it on two sides. Okay, what is this showing me, and what do I need to do? Okay, because, see, when you're spiritual, you get messages. You get messages. But if you don't adhere to that original message that's coming to you and you're all up in la-la land or wherever you are, that big one, you will get slapped, okay? That environment will slap you and say, hey, I was trying to show you something. You were not paying attention. So, bam, here it is, right on your nose. So you have to pull back and say, uh-oh, I didn't listen to that message. It was a message coming. See, you don't realize it when it's coming to you until that bump on the nose comes. Then you go back and you reassess. And when you reassess, in order to reassess, you have to pull back to make sure that you're being true to yourself, you're being true to that person, you're not pretending. I cannot pretend, period. I wish I could. Just not my style. Okay, if I don't like it, I don't like it. I never say I don't like you, but I don't like your behavior. So if I don't like your behavior, I'm going to stay away from you because your behavior will bring out my behavior and them other 52 personalities, them girls sometimes get out of order. So I have to pull back to create my happiness and to understand that you at that particular time are unhappy. And as you say, misery loves company. And guess what? I'm not going to be in that unhappiness mode because my happiness comes from within. So it's like it's a way situation. You have to understand yourself before you can go in and take that polishing cloth. Is that a good way to put it? But the message is you and your environment are one. So they're showing you something.
That's right. So, and I think that would take us off in a whole other direction. I'd love to talk about that. I'm making notes so we can talk about that in the future. But to get back on the three ideas, this idea of nurturing your soul and understanding what happiness is and looking at it from the inside out. The first thing that we said, the first concept, I'm going to just wrap it up maybe with the last two. The first one was wanting what you have, and there's two more. So number one is wanting what you have, and two is loving what you do.
Yeah.
I want to talk about that a little bit. And number three is enjoying being who you are.
Yes.
So first, let's talk a little bit about loving what you do and then enjoying being who you are. And these are just like you and I do sometimes, and as we're capturing the subtopics inside this bigger topic of happiness to try to put some hooks for people to grab onto so they can take it away and think about it. And a lot of people might be journaling or thinking about these ideas. And so if happiness means wanting what you have, loving what you do, and enjoying who you are or just being who you are, what do we want to know about those last two points? Okay, so loving what you do. Some have said that doing what you love is freedom. Doing what you love is freedom. And that loving what you do is happiness. And then the more you love what you do, the more successful it will be for you. Okay, so about that, I have to say this. There have been many times in my life when I have looked at other people and I've seen that they love what they do and they seem successful, however you define success. They seem happy and successful and loving what they do. And I have felt like I was on the outside looking in saying, what is their secret? What is their secret? How are they so deeply invested in building and making and enjoying what they do? Like Steve Jobs and Apple Computer, you know, and later Next Computer and then back to Steve Jobness. But, you know, the idea of in fact, he's one of those people who would talk about this subject of doing what you love. And so many of us, when we set out in our careers or we're looking for a profession, we don't necessarily love what we do. We're just looking for a way to make money and keep a roof over our heads and food on the table. So in our Western, particularly Western way of looking at the world, our capitalistic way of doing it in America, is loving what you do can happen, but a lot of times it seems like a luxury. There are many, many people in America who don't love what they do. So the idea of loving what you do may seem foreign to some percentage of people in the United States. Let's just use the United States as a place to start. So I would just encourage our listeners and anyone who actually works with me, you know, in my life coaching practices, is one of the things I would encourage, and again, is to think about what that would look like if you love what you do for a living, in other words. And then we don't have a lot more time left, but the third point was enjoying being who you are. So being who you are, it can be closely tied to what you do. But, I know this is a thing, Linda, when you and I talk a lot, we have talked a lot in the past about being true to who you are. So getting a sense of satisfaction from just being you.
Mm-hmm.
And the term that I've coined in my life coaching practice is for you-ness, and this idea of you-ness is coming into that realization that you are enough. It's just who you are, the genius of who you are, your personality, or your, as in our, we joked about your case, 52 personalities, that is what makes you you.
Yes.
So enjoying being who you are, isn't it astounding that for some people that is actually a challenge because their brain is telling them they're not enough, or their brain is telling them they're not good enough, or their brain is telling them
they're looking outside.
That's right. That's right.
So
we come
if you, yes, you have to go. And in order to, you know, I know me. Okay, I know me. So when I'm in environments and people try to tell me who I am, it don't work. It won't work because you'll never be able to figure it out. I got too many me's, okay? And only I control which one of those numbers I pull up. And how did I acquire those numbers? How did I acquire all those personalities? That was survival for me, okay? So if I've been here over 2 days, that means that I've been doing something right so I can spot it. I have the wisdom. Sometimes because I have a heart, I have a good heart. I'm a person with a heart, and I don't want my heart to freeze. So a lot of times I move with my heart. But because I move with my heart, I'm understanding more about my heart now, because everybody doesn't move out with heartfelt, and they're always on an agenda, and they think they're getting over or using, but they're really not. So rather than to just totally let them know, I'll back up and go back in a different kind of way. I go into observation mode because, like I said, those generals, those last 52, I say from around 46 to 52, them girls move out. They're the brigadiers. So when it's not right, they step on up to the plate and they call the shots. So those are the young ladies that when you say enjoying being you, you have to know you to enjoy you. You know how you see people? People have different reasons. You have individuals, they have to be the best in the room. They have to be the this and the that and the top notch. That's great. You love individuals that are like that. Or they have to drive the shiny, shiny car. Whatever their desire is, whatever makes them happy, or whatever makes them think that they're happy. Because, see, all of that stuff can create unhappiness also, because you've got to do extra things in order to keep that image up. But if you present the image of you, then it don't matter. Because you satisfied and you're enjoying you just the way you are.
So that's right. And so let's unpack that with the three subtopics that we selected today. And I'm going to leave three questions as we wrap it up. Okay, so here's the first one. We said wanting what you have. So I'm going to ask the question for people who want to do the work or journal or whatever. Like we would if we were in a life coaching session. And under the topic of wanting what you have, here's the question I want you to think about. What is an example in your life of wanting what you have? What does that look like? And I gave the example of like just being caught up in the moment of being here delayed and Jimmy making you laugh and all that. and talking to the therapist about it and getting her feedback that, yeah, that sounds like a perfect moment in your life, just wanting what you have right then, just being the moment. So the question I have for your listeners is, what is your example in your life? What is an example of wanting what you have? Now, second topic was loving what you do.
Mm-hmm.
I'll ask your listeners, what is the secret to loving what you do? What does that look like for you? And then the third one was enjoying being who you are. And we talk about this topic of uniqueness, and we didn't really unpack that a lot. But the question is, how do you enjoy your uniqueness? And knowing that your uniqueness is enough, just being, just showing up, being fully present, sharing your gifts and your special strengths, your perspective, your lovingness in your heart, you know, just showing up, being who you are in the world, and enjoying your uniqueness by just sharing who you are. What does that look like for you when you enjoy your uniqueness? So those are my three questions for today, and that's what I wanted to leave. Not having fully prepared for our talk today, but I knew that we would be able to find it through our discussion.
Well, you know what?
So I
love it because we don't like it when it's totally preparing here. We don't like it.
And also there's a theory too, and we do it every single time. When there's a theory that is called circular discussion, is you start with the premise, like the topic, and then when you fully discuss it the way you need to, going back and forth, you will end up right back where you started. And we did that in this hour. We started with, most of us spend our lives searching for external solutions to our problems, and then we unpacked it and said, well, if you recognize there's a problem, you know, the good news is if you are the problem, you're also the solution. And the way that you find that happiness, that peace in your soul, that nurturing, is to understand yourself, know who you are, want what you have, love what you do, and enjoy being you. And
yes.
That's it.
Yes. Well, you know, I'm so appreciative. We always do this, but it's just happened. You know, I believe in that spontaneity anyway, because I just like it, because it's comfortable. It's going to go where it goes. I tell a lot of individuals, we are not seeing it, and people are saying, well, what questions are you going to ask? We don't do that. You just come on and care and share, and we just have fun. And I enjoy it because it's growth for me. It's growth for them. When you say the pandemic and back to waking up with Linda McShann started in 2014. It was wake up with Linda McShann. And I was in school, and it got started. And how it got started, the gentleman said, well, I said, look, I'm getting ready to graduate from this first stage here. He said, well, you could talk about graduation. Well, he did not know that I had broadcast skills, that I did broadcast journalism. So it hit me, okay, he right, I can. So we started. And every day, 7 days a week, for 2 hours, I would go up. For 45 days straight, I had to hone into that skill. And I had no guests. I didn't even have any topics. I would just give them encouraging words and play music, hit the button and go on campus. So when that came about, so when I got deep into getting those acclimates and going into the level of undergraduate and the graduate, I had to pull back because, you know, that's very demanding. So I pulled back. But I kept everything going, and I'd go in and out to do promos and things for some of the classes that I was making, you know, presentations in, or I would help someone with a jingle, or I would do a infomercial for someone. I would do it that way just to kind of like, you know, keep everything. But when the pandemic started, I said, ooh. I was meditating. I said, what in the world? I can't go to my club meetings. I can't see my groups. I can't see my children. What am I going to do? And that little voice said, go hit that button again. Go hit it. So that kept me balanced. That helped everyone else stay balanced. that helped me grow, and it helped others grow, because I'm pulling in persons that didn't even know that they could speak above a whisper. I like to get people and say, come on, come on, you can do it. You can do this. And they get on, and they say, oh, my God, it is so comfortable. I said, that's the general idea. What kind of questions are you going to ask me, Linda? I said, I'm not asking you any. You are just going to talk. But as they develop their voices and as they look for their topics, see, it makes them go into research. And they say, well, I'm going to talk about the butterfly. And I say, good, whatever you talk about the butterfly, we know you're going to bring it. So I have one I call Nature Girl because she talks about nature. You're Nature Girl. You're my cross-country connect because you're in another state. I deal with the cross-country connect because I have people all over to come through, so I don't have a set. I have a structure, but I don't have a set format because people are not set formats. And whatever you want to bring, that's why you and I tune in, because we are from the beginning. You would say, Linda, why did you know that? I said, I don't know. I just know we're going to go that way. Because each individual brings out another creative part of another individual, and you definitely bring out my creativity. Your voice, you're very comforting. The questions that you ask, you know, you make a person think. And we need that, like these three questions, enjoying who you are, loving what you do, you know, what are you, Joe? What is the other one? The first one is loving what you do and wanting what you have. So those type of questions are think tank questions that make a person pull back and really, really have to dig deep. And that's why it's so nice when we get together. And when I'm speaking with you, I'm sitting here and I see a beautiful lake with beautiful white swans on it. I don't know where it is. I don't know if it's there. But when I'm speaking with you this morning, I saw that relaxation, that nature, that calming. So is there any white swans over there where you are flapping around?
There are herons. And they're large, and they could be mistaken for swans, but they're very large herons.
See?
Yeah, and they're swimming across the lake. And I put a video of one of them up on my Facebook last night. I don't know if you saw it yet, but we happened to be out there with our phones, cameras, and we're watching the sunset. And stood in a fixed place and held the camera and turned 360 degrees in a circle with the video on, not the picture, not the photo, but the video. So it's rolling, and we're showing the lake and the houses and the buildings where we're staying. And then as we spun around and faced the lake again, one of those big sort of prehistoric-looking birds looped out. And in that moment, almost as if they were the star of that video show at that precise moment, did its thing, you know, touching the water, looking for food, swooping off, and we followed its course across the lake, and it was the sunset, so it was absolutely phenomenal, and it was like the whole thing had been presented to us from the universe. It was just beautiful.
Wow.
And, so we happened to capture it on video, so take a look. I did post that, and I shared that with our friends on Facebook. So it was just a moment. It was one of those moments. And you were right. I mean, I have been blessed since moving to Arkansas. I've really settled into these things we've talked about, just enjoying being and staying true to my values, which include spending time with people I love and in nature and an intentional getting away behavior. So getting away from the grind, getting away from my things that keep me from feeling settled. And so every chance I get, I slip into these weekends where I can settle back in and get rebalanced and feel my center again. So anyway, thank you again for making me do this, because stopping for an hour just to talk with you and think about
We've gone past that hour. I extended a few more minutes here. That's why we're still talking. And I could go in and move it up, because once you come on, you know, it gets so good. And, you know, you bring out the stuff in me. So if I have an opportunity to stretch it out, I stretch it out. And then when it edits back down, then I'll see where it went, you know, because your original time is set. But then you can add on and take it. So I will check that out. But Professor Bird, I miss you. But it's such a good feeling to know that when you call and say, hey, we need to touch in, we haven't did this in a while, it's time. I remember in your class.
This is a pleasure for both of us.
Yes, your class, when I met you, you made a stretch, but that was the most exciting experience.
Everybody, so creative. We just played and were creative and had this unconditional positive regard in the classroom. Every single person in there was respectful and open, and that made it a safe place for people to really expand their thinking and their ability to present and let their ideas be heard. And similar to what you were talking about earlier, just allowing people the safe space to use their voice. And we did that through that nonprofit marketing class. And I mean, people were crying. Those final presentations, we were crying. I was crying. I know a couple other people were too. The work that was being done is that every person there was giving their heart to some cause and that helping other people in the world. And it was beautiful. It was beautiful. I will never forget it. So thank you.
Well, we'll never forget you, because you brought that out in us, and like you said, everything stems from the head. So in order to set that type of environment, it had to come from your energy, because you had to set the pace and set the lead for us to follow. And that was like a good example of leadership. See, people who use the word leader, but a leader it leads, and also a leader is a follower. But you have to understand both sides of it to make it the blend, because they go together. And it's so difficult, when we're going through this event. We're all going through the new beginnings, as I call it. So nothing is going to be done the way that it was done before. So therefore, whatever creative bone that you have, you need to pull up and put out there. But then again, you will still have those blocks and those hurdles that you have to jump over because they're just there. So what I do is to go inside, to stay happy, create my happiness from within, and that gives me an opportunity to bust down any wall. And I intend to keep it that way. And persons like yourself that come and join and share and care. And I tell people, I don't care if only one person heard it. We might have saved them from jumping off the bridge. And that's the way you have to look at it. Coming from theater, the show must go on. The show must go on. So for me to care and share, I'm vamping up. I'm moving into another level. I have some things happening. I'll discuss them with you, get your take on it. I'll see what's a good time for us to maybe talk 20 minutes and get your take on it.
Okay.
And you tell me.
Right.
So I will get back with you.
Yes,
I'll get back with you.
All right, sounds good.
You know what?
Let's pack this one up and
Thank you. Tell the family there. Tell Jimmy, and tell those I call them swans that are flying over there on that lake. Tell them I'll be there to visit them, because it's something about that lake that I'm seeing in my visions that I have to come and see. Now, where it's coming from,
beautiful.
I have no idea. Are they big enough for me to ride on their back? Can I ride on their back?
I think they might be able to pull you across the lake, yes.
Okay. Well, I'm going to keep that vision, and on that end, we're going to say thank you, Karen Bird, our life coach, and for bringing us the Four Agreements from Don Ruiz. I have the book. I haven't completed reading it. And then the most important thing that you said was letting go and have wisdom. Karen Bird, we love you. I will be giving you a call. Thank you for your time. Enjoy your weekend. And in order to make that move, this song is going to play out. You must be fearless, and that is who you are. We love you. Thank you, thank you, thank you.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Lost in thoughts of you. As I look Must is how I feel it.
waking up with the dumbest
thing. You said it, girl.
The land. We educate, communicate, and collaborate.
They want
we give, showing others how to live.
We care, share, we love all through the land.